You know, every week, especially after Pastor Greg does the children's message, we have to then think of something even more significant. Maybe I'll bring donut holes or something like that. We don't get to speak directly today about the greatest teacher of all times, but I pray after you are with me on this message today that all of our very being, you know, our heart and our mind, our wills will focus on the greatest teacher of all times, and more than that, most of all, on his loving kindness. It's been called one of the most beautiful and exquisite stories in all of Scripture, the book of Ruth. And I apologize up front because I'm not going to be able to spend time telling you all about this wonderful story. So I invite you, I really encourage you to take time this week to go through chapter by chapter, just four chapters in this short little story, this exquisite story, to spend time with it this coming week. I'm going to just begin first with a concise summary of the book of Ruth. It's found in the Old Testament, as you know, opens up with a family move. Because of a severe famine in Bethlehem, Elimelech, along with his wife Naomi and his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, they move from their hometown of Bethlehem in Judea, that's a familiar town of ours, isn't it, to the land of Moab, which is about 50 miles east, but you've got to go around the Dead Sea to get there. There is no bread in Bethlehem, in the town that is called the House of Bread. Soon after arriving in Moab, Elimelech dies, and his two sons marry Moabite women, one named Orpah, not Oprah, Orpah, and the other Moabite woman, Ruth. Then, after a short time, Naomi's two sons die, Mahlon and Chilion. Living 10 years in the land of Moab, grief-stricken and impoverished, Naomi then returns to Bethlehem. Her daughter-in-law, Ruth, insists on following Naomi home. Once back in Bethlehem, out of concern for her mother-in-law, Ruth then begins to gather bundles of wheat dropped by the reapers in the fields of a wealthy kinsman named Boaz. Boaz has heard of Ruth's kindness towards Naomi. Boaz accepts responsibility as Naomi's next of kin. He redeems his fortunes to her family. Marvelous story. Those are the cliff notes, the cheat sheet, if you will, in the book of Ruth. Let us pray. We do thank you humbly and gladly for our children here this day, for our children, most of all, Lord God, that now you have brought formally into your grasp of belonging, your eternal embrace. And so, Holy Spirit, living Holy Spirit, now grab a hold of us, that you would fill this place, this worship along this seashore, that you would gather us up, cover us with these words, lift us up and encircle us. These, your cherished, beautiful people. May these next moments be devoted to you, Lord God, as a tangible, responsive sign of our desire to see and to know, to love and to follow you, Jesus, Lord Christ. Amen. Now, something more important as well. This marvelous story of faith is that much more amazing because of the historical period that Ruth is set in. The time of and life of Ruth takes place in the time of the judges, sometime between 1200 and 1020 BC, after the death of Joshua and before the coronation of King Saul in Israel. It is one of the most wicked, obstinate, unfortunate periods in all of Israel's history. It's a time of moral and political chaos. The people are repeatedly turning away from God. Neighboring tribes are constantly harassing and invading this really beaten down nation. Summed up in the book of Judges there, in the days of the judges, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. It is in this time that Ruth shines. Ruth becomes one of the few notable exceptions to this dark and rebellious time. Ruth shines. And now from the first chapter of Ruth, she speaks first in verse 16. And her words are legendary. Some of you have used her words, recited her words at your wedding. These are vows that Ruth makes to her mother-in-law, Naomi. More than that, these are vows that Ruth makes to her God. Ruth chapter 1, verses 14 to 16 and 22. Then Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law and departed, but Ruth clung to Naomi. So Naomi said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So Naomi returned together with Ruth, the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came back with her from the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Now, this is a stunning, extraordinary act, these five vows Ruth promises to Naomi. Naomi is broke. She is penniless. She's destitute. She's desperate. Yet Ruth vows to stay with her mother-in-law. Ruth intends to cling to her, to never let her mother-in-law go. I can think of nothing worse, can you? Nothing worse than losing the child that you have loved. Naomi has lost her husband, and she has lost not only one, but both of her sons. Some of you perhaps have had to bury one of your children. You know the grief, the acute pain of that. She is a childless widow, and Ruth promises to never leave her. Naomi is away from home, from her fellowship, from her family in Bethlehem. What is left of Naomi has come to an end in a foreign land, in Moab. And Ruth is willing to give her life until death for Naomi. Do you have this kind of deep loyalty like Ruth? Do you have this kind of selfless love which Ruth has for the people in your life? Even your mother-in-law. Ruth is a woman of God's hesed. Hesed. She is a woman of God's loving kindness. It is a potent Hebrew word, hesed, used three big times in this tiny little book to describe the relationship between Ruth and her God. Hesed, acts of mercy done by the strong in concern for the weak. Hesed, undying loyalty, undying and a covenant of commitment for one another. God's loving kindness offered by one given to another. Hesed. Here in these verses, Ruth exercises God's loving kindness for Naomi. And in these verses, Ruth exercises a new commitment to God. Here she is at Naomi's side in Moab, crushed, broken, grief-stricken, 50 long, hard road miles from Bethlehem. Ruth is literally at a fork in the road. Now imagine this. She has a decision to make. And she can say to herself, "I can go back to my family and my traditions and my culture here, right here in Moab, or I can go to Bethlehem with Naomi, a place she's never been." Ruth has a choice to make. I can stay here in Moab comfortably, and I can worship Chemosh, the national god of Moab, or I can go to Bethlehem and worship Yahweh. This is a changed life, to look at life in a new way, to point her soul towards God. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. Ruth's new commitment. I want you to think about this new commitment. Do you think you're at the proverbial fork in the road yourself? Maybe you're saying to yourself, I can stay here worshiping all of my comfortable, pleasurable false gods and idols. I have several. Or I can go towards something completely different, countercultural, something kingdom-bound. I can go towards the Jesus style. Are you open to making a new commitment? We sang just a little while ago, take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours. To yours, O Lord. It's Ruth's song. Can it be your song? This decision to go with Naomi back to Bethlehem. This is a big-time risk for Ruth. This is big-time faith for Ruth. This is big-time trust for God. Ruth has no husband. She has no friends. She has no job. She has no food in a country that is hostile to a widowed Moabite woman. How huge is Ruth's decision? Pastor Mark Driscoll tells us that it would be like a young black woman, a new Christian, in the time of Jim Crow laws, saying, I hear there's this really alive church in the white neighborhood down the block. I think I will move there. Or it would be like saying, this is unwavering faith. It would be like a young Jewish woman, new to her faith, in the 1940s, living in Germany, saying, there's this really alive synagogue, I hear, across the river in the German precinct there. I think I will move there. Do you live your faith this way, friends? Do you live with this bold abandonment for God? Do you live with this deep, relentless love for God? Do you live with this ruthless trust of stepping forth and stepping out with God? Ruth trusts that God is sovereign and good. Ruth trusts that God will take care of her when she gets to Bethlehem. In these four little chapters, just 81 verses long, God is mentioned 23 times. Astounding. Naomi speaks the most in this book. Ruth is the most dynamic character in this book. Boaz is a wonderful good man and a redeemer who looks a little bit like Jesus. But the hero of Ruth's story is God. The prize and the power of this story is God's faithfulness. God is both sovereign and good. God is both almighty and patient. God works through human history. God works through Scripture. God works to redeem and to bless our lives. God is at work, not just in human history, but God is at work in everyday details of our everyday lives. Like Naomi or Elimelech or Ruth, we too have experienced great pain and loss. We have found ourselves lost in a foreign land. We have found ourselves hungry for something deeper, for something more meaningful. We have found ourselves alone, with no one to walk with no one who will care for us. We have felt empty and broken. We felt desperate and desolate. God, who is both sovereign and good, God works out everything for redemptive good. Great is thy faithfulness. There is a Redeemer. What was famine in Bethlehem now turns out to be blessing. Food is now on Naomi's table, and the harvest has come in, and Ruth is gleaning in the fields. There is hope in the hearts of Boaz and Ruth, and a faithful God is in their midst. Every word and every event in this book points to the faithfulness of God. Through Ruth, God's love stays with Naomi through her suffering and her bitterness. God brings Boaz as the kinsman redeemer. Naomi and Ruth return to Bethlehem empty and afflicted, but God sends rain to refill and replenish the house of bread, Bethlehem, with grain at harvest time. God provides not only for Ruth's physical needs, but God provides for her spiritual and emotional needs. God provides the companionship for her of her godly mother-in-law, and God provides the love of a man in Boaz. And that's the ending of this beautiful, exquisite story. Boaz asks Ruth's hand in marriage. And Ruth gives birth to a son who she gives to Naomi. And who is that son? Obed, the father of Jesse, who is the father of King David. In the royal ancestry line, notice this, Ruth is the only woman in Matthew's genealogy. And we follow her line, Obed, Jesse, King David, in the royal ancestry line of Jesus, the Christ, the Son of David, the Redeemer of the world. You and me, loving kindness for the taking through Him and in Him. Friends, loving kindness for you and for you to share loving kindness with others. Let us pray. Lord God, we do thank you for your loving kindness that never goes away. You cling to us even when we are grief-stricken and in pain, even when we don't want to have anything to do with you, O Lord. You shower us and you bless us with loving kindness, even in those hard, rough patches of our lives. May we open our lives to you by your grace, by your Spirit's power, and reach a hold of the love that you have for us in your mercy and in your redemptive presence. In Jesus' name.